See, I'd be afraid of the gritty remake on this one. Because that's what we do now. If we're going to remake it, we're going to make it, we're either going to make it way too goofball and over the top, or we're going to make it way too gritty and serious. And this particular movie sits right in that pocket. Let's go! This is the Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 125, and this time we are jumping off of the whole nine yards, which I didn't actually... I remembered that I liked it, but I didn't actually remember what it was. I was conflating it with... The Last Yard, but I knew that I liked the movie.
So, The Longest Yard, you mean?
Yeah, The Longest Yard.
Okay. It's definitely not a football movie.
It's not a football movie, but I knew I liked it. And it's kind of the rom-com mashed up with another genre thing. And it's very much in the same vein as Gross Point Blank.
Yes, it is.
Because the other genre is hired killer. Yes.
Yeah, I had never seen this movie before.
Okay.
I think that when I saw the cast, I can only imagine, because this movie came out when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that I saw the cast and was like, oh, this is probably a stupid chick flick, and I don't really want to go see it. Like, okay. I didn't realize that it was kind of a Bruce Willis action movie.
Kind of. I love the juxtaposition and tone. That's what does it for me. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it actually has timed out pretty well because I play Call of Duty Warzone with my friends online, and they just released the new 80s action hero pack, which features Bruce Willis.
Okay.
So you can, if you download this pack, you can be Bruce Willis from Die Hard.
Nice.
And you can shoot his guns and you have the Bruce Willis character. It's fantastic. I run around as Bruce Willis all the time now.
Because that's where Bruce Willis's career is at this point. He's doing cameos in video games.
I mean, here's the thing though. You know who doesn't give a shit? Bruce Willis.
Yes.
It's fine because I followed on rabbit holes. I watched this movie.
He's getting that Demi Moore's ex-husband money.
Yeah, that's right. We know who made them. Yeah, we know who brought home the checks in that family.
Both of them.
Yeah, both of them. I'll take even a sliver of that check.
Yeah.
But so I watched this movie, and then I watched the Comedy Central roast of Bruce Willis.
Okay.
Because I love the roasts in general, and I think Bruce Willis is great. So, you know who thinks Bruce Willis's career is hilarious? Bruce Willis. He's extremely self-aware. Like, he knows exactly who he is.
Yes.
He knows that he's not some, Oscar-winning actor. Mm-hmm. He's an action movie guy. He's McClane. He's that dude. And he thinks it's hilarious, and he thinks it's great.
He made a very bluesy music album that actually had a single play on the radio at one point. Yeah. He's that guy who's just doing things.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't take himself too seriously. He doesn't, think that he's, some hot shot. Like, he knows he's not Daniel Day-Lewis. He's Bruce Willis.
Right.
But at the end of the day, he knows how cool it is to be Bruce Willis.
Right.
He is keenly aware of his place in, pop culture.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed this movie. This may have been the most I ever laughed at Matthew Perry. I'm not a Friends guy.
Right.
I never thought Friends was funny. I was much more of a Seinfeld fan. Mm-hmm. But this is probably as funny as I've ever seen Matthew Perry be ever.
Yeah, because he's hilariously uncomfortable. And that works.
Which I think was his character in Friends, but I just never found the comedy worth anything.
Yeah, but... There was never a reason for him to be uncomfortable in Friends. Here, they give you context.
That's true.
Yes, they give you context that you can believe in and sympathize with.
Right.
Whereas in Friends, he's just awkward for no reason. Yay.
Yeah, which I never understood. Oh, and this movie also had, like, my favorite. They had Michael Clark Duncan in it. He's great.
Yes, yes.
He's always been great. He will always be great. Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Like, I love... that is a quote that I say to this day to people.
He is both...
Yeah, so I'm a big Michael Clark Duncan fan.
He is both the largest human and larger than human at the same time.
Right.
Yes.
No, absolutely. And I mean, he's just this, you know, big imposing dude that is, you know, a teddy bear.
Right.
And, you know, a funny guy that, you know, I don't know. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely great. And I mean, he is an incredible actor. I mean, if you've ever seen The Green Mile, he's absolutely fantastic. But, you know, he also can play the funny guy and, you know, use his size to be really good at, like, the physical comedy and the, you know, kind of that absurd comedy of this big scary dude kind of being this happy guy.
I mean, because just his physicality is absurd in and of itself. You just... Yeah, and you just kind of you can play with that fairly easily. If you can just get somebody to do it right, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, and I think that's it's part of the role that, like, The Rock took in some of his, like, early comedy movies. The fact that, like, here's this 6'5", like, 300-pound dude, and we're going to put him in the movie, what was it, The Tooth Fairy?
Yeah.
You know, and that movie's surprisingly funny. Like, I mean, for as Disney movies go, it is pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that was kind of his lane in comedy too, and I thought it was really good.
Yeah, this is like one of the I enjoy a good mashup of genres. You know, just especially if it doesn't take itself too seriously. This Gross Point Blank is the same mashup. You know, just done with a high school reunion trope thrown in, and then you get like Shaun of the Dead. And things like that. Yeah. Anything that's mashed up with romantic comedies to make romantic comedies seem even more absurd is fine by me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I could also see them totally remaking this movie with, like, Liam Neeson.
Okay.
Just because he's played that, like, hitman character several times and, like, he's got that. But he would make it funny in a different way than Bruce Willis made it funny.
Okay.
But I think that he'd still make it hilarious.
See, I'd be afraid of the gritty remake on this one. You know, because that's what we do now. If we're going to remake it, we're going to make it, we're either going to make it way too goofball and over the top, or we're going to make it way too gritty and serious. And this particular movie sits right in that pocket. And if you push it either way, it's not the same thing.
It loses something. Right. Yeah. Because then it becomes one genre or the other.
Right.
You're right. The beauty of this movie is the fact that it sits in that sweet spot.
Yes.
In between, like, spy thriller and rom-com and, you know, and it dances and that line very, very well.
Yeah. You feel the tension, but you never take it too seriously. Yeah. And that's a game that is played well here.
It is. And it does a good job of kind of building you up to kind of like that suspenseful point.
Mm-hmm.
And then just there's like a joke or something that lets the air out of the balloon.
Yes.
You know, and then it kind of does it again. And then it, you know, it just kind of keeps you, oh, this movie's about to get serious. Ah, nope. Here's some humor. Like, we're good. We're good.
Yeah. So,
I guess there was a sequel, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it was like The Whole 10 Yards or something. I don't think I ever saw it. And I don't think I know anyone who ever saw it. So I don't. that tells you enough about how well the sequel did.
That's because it bombed. Yeah. It only made $26 million.
Yeah.
Whereas this one made 106.
Yeah. I mean, because what else do we need to know about this story?
Well, and that's it. And that's a movie problem in general, mm-hmm. is that, you know, this story wrapped itself up pretty nicely.
Which it's supposed to. That's what you're supposed to do. You don't make movies for sequels.
Right. It had a nice little bow at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just said, oh, well, but this movie made so much money that we need to make another one. But why?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't make sequels, you know, just to make sequels.
Right. And there's such a bad habit of that.
Yes.
I mean, and I know they've made 30 of them, but the Fast and the Furious movies. There was no reason to make more Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah, but at this point, that's part of the joke.
Well, yeah. I mean, now it's a parody of itself. But, yes. Like, the you know, the second one, okay, I can kind of understand. But, like, the third one, the fourth one, like, Fast 5 was where it really became, like, okay, like, we know how absurd this is.
Yes.
You know, this is cinematic cotton candy. Yes. This is Michael Bay blowing stuff up.
Yeah, once you hit 5, it was like, okay, yeah, we don't really care about the script anymore. We're just, this is a special effects extravaganza fun time. And
right.
Now the latest thing is they're talking about mashing it up with Jurassic World.
Wait, like Fast and the Furious, like Jurassic Drift or whatever?
Yeah. Like, like, I guess in one of the movies, they, like, you know, drop the cars on an island or something, and maybe they're just going to do that, and there will be dinosaurs there.
I mean, as long as it's not, like, the Jurassic Park dinosaurs, that would be fine.
No, it would be, I mean, it would be the Jurassic Park, it would be Jurassic World. And it would be in one of movie, those islands.
So if we could get, like, the cast, like, if I could get, like, both Jeff Goldblum and Chris Pratt and, like, The Rock and Vin Diesel, like, I'm for it. That would be so absurd that I would absolutely watch it. I would. For one, I think it would be hilarious because Jeff Goldblum's funny in anything, and so is The Rock.
Yeah.
And I would, like, that's two people that I never thought I would get to see, like, play off of each other.
Right.
I would be interested to see how that worked.
It's like, yeah. Well, it's like, yeah, when you cast Vin Diesel and The Rock, basically you have taken the two people who would be eligible to play either of these roles, and you have to sign them. Otherwise you don't have a movie because there's no other person to fall back on. Because
only other person that could play The Rock is kind of like Vin Diesel.
Diesel, exactly.
And vice versa. There's no other, like, 6'4", bald, like, tanned guys walking around.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're going to get Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge to stop playing baseball to come make your movie, there's just nobody to do it.
Yeah, you might be able to get, like, Dave Bautista could do it.
Maybe.
The guy that played Drax. He could do it.
Yeah. Or you just lean into it and bring in Gronk, you know?
Yeah, or you could get, like, John Cena. Like, while we're on the topic of wrestlers, like, John Cena does some acting. You could get him to do it, too.
But nobody's ever seen him in a movie.
He's been in movies, hasn't he? Yeah, surely he's been.
But you can't see him.
Well, that's true. Movie. That is a common problem with John Cena, is that you can't see him.
Yes. I only know this because of memes. I don't know where that comes from.
I mean, I can tell you this, is that if I ever had $1 billion, I would cast John Cena as the lead role in The Invisible Man just for the laughs. And, like, I would remake The Invisible Man, and John Cena would be The Invisible Man, because you can't see him.
But you do no CGI. None. No CGI.
No, none at
he
all.
Is there the whole fucking time.
You go 100% Drex, and, you know, he just stands really still and, like, eats a corn nut.
He's doing things that, you know, nobody can see me. I can do whatever the fuck I want. So he's dancing around and whatever in every scene, and nobody pays any attention to him. Yeah.
Because they can't see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, either that or I would recast him in Ghost.
Yeah.
We're going to redo Ghost.
Ugh. Can't do that.
That's true. That was a really good movie. You can only remake bad movies. You only should remake bad movies.
Maybe we shouldn't remake any movies. Huh.
I mean,
Maybe we should come up with new ideas.
Yeah, but new ideas don't make money, John.
Well,
apparently.
They would.
Apparently.
They would if you'd stop having old ideas rehashed in a bad way being an option.
That's true.
If we can't go to see, you know, a shitty remake of something that we care about, then we would spend our money on something good.
That's true.
But that's
not the easy way out.
Right.
And we're all about the easy way out now.
Yes.
Which is funny because like half the plot of this movie was them trying to take the easy way out because they were just trying to like get each other killed. I could solve my problems by ratting on this guy.
And then the dentist ended up being the mastermind. Yeah, dude, who knows? Yeah.
That part I didn't quite understand, but okay.
The dentist figured out how to make it all go away because of dental records.
Yeah. Although I did find the fact that like Kevin Pollak is one of those Saturday Night Live people that I always thought was way funnier than he got credit for.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I was glad to see him in this movie because I've always thought he's hilarious. He's super dry, like
yeah,
and to see him play like a serious mob boss was really, really funny.
It was good that it was the son of the mob boss that inherited it, so he didn't need that gravitas.
Right. He didn't need to be Vito Corleone. Was absolutely not.
Yeah. He's the one who stepped into the role, but wouldn't have had the power to take it himself, but stepped into it in this circumstance. Yeah.
Right.
Which made it even more feasible that, you know, his men would go against him, you know, and plot amongst themselves because he didn't hold his own power.
Right. And being like literally like the little kid standing in his dad's shoes thing, like that role kind of suits his acting, like in his character.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's what he was. He was an 8-year-old like standing in his dad's shoes. Like he doesn't fit.
Right.
But he's there.
But he's there. And he's got guns.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the great equalizer. So.
Yes. Yeah. So. This was the coming out party for Amanda Peet, who had a small career after this, and mostly because of this, I believe.
I can't remember her in anything else other than like, the X-Files movie.
Okay.
Was she in anything else?
She was in a small clump of movies after this. I can't remember.
She was in Brockmire. No, she was in Brockmire. Oh, which is a fantastic show.
Yeah. She is resurgent in that. Yes, with Hank Azaria. Yes.
Yeah, one of the like most slept on TV shows, in my opinion, out there is Brockmire. Hank Azaria is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, I know everyone sees him and thinks, oh, it's a Simpsons guy. No, he's legitimately funny.
Right.
And he's so good in this show.
And the problem with amplifying him too much is in the 90s, he played some racially insensitive characters. So.
Yeah.
But that was the 90s. That's what you did.
That's it. I mean, it's one of those things where it's hard to criticize an actor sometimes for playing a role like that. One, because they're just trying to get a job.
And honestly, you can look at Brockmire as him owning that shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's very much the old school fucked up guy trying to backpedal.
Fit in the modern.
Yeah. So. Very much, just him playing that role could be seen as an apology for, you know, the earlier stuff, or, just at least self-awareness. Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, I tried to explain it to, like, what Brockmeyer was to some people, and I think the closest I ever came was, it's Eastbound and Down, but the main character is the announcer and not a player.
Right. Yeah. I've watched the first season, I think, and just, it was good, but I just haven't pushed through to the next one. Because I think the first season kind of wrapped up pretty well. And then, you know, it's like, okay, do I need to watch further? It was good.
Well, and that's kind of Eastbound and Down-ish in the fact that, like, the first season wraps up. He gets a little bit of redemption. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the second season he gets promoted, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah.
And it goes around from there. But to me, Brockmeyer was always one of those shows where I'm kind of like you. I would watch a season. I watched the first season, thought it was good, and then didn't see anything for a while.
Yeah.
I probably went like a year before I stumbled across the second season, and I watched it in 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah. I did pay attention to it for a while, and then I just binged an entire season in 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it finally wrapped up last year.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, it's like, I'm sure plenty of Firefly fans would agree. Some series just need to be wrapped up in one season.
Okay. If you want to find me those Firefly fans, like, hey, be my guest.
Hey. I'm trying to ignite anything we can in our fan base just to get a reaction.
And if that means I have to kick the Forbidden Hornet's nest to talk about Firefly, that's what I'm going to do.
If any Firefly fans were just listening, they stopped listening and they are typing right fucking now. So
that is correct.
Win-win. It's like, oh, you didn't listen to the rest of the episode, did you?
Oh, that's funny.
That was a test just to see if anyone's listening. We appreciate your download numbers, but we'd like you to actually listen.
Yeah. Yeah. And send us hate mail because that means you listened. Yes. Sort of.
Send us hate.
Send us because hate mail so we know you kind of listened. Send us real thoughtful hate mail so we know you listened.
Send us hate mail so we know you care. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. But if it's detailed hate mail, though, like, at least you paid attention. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Fine. I mean, and even better, if it references past episodes and how we've continued to do this and gives proper citation of multiple infractions, that's chef's kiss right there. Just give us that.
I take it all day.
Yeah. 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 Because, you know, nobody talks to us.
No, I'm just down here in my basement. No one ever comes down and says hello or visits me.
The only person who ever talks to Joe is me every 2 to 3 weeks when I call and say,
yep.
Hey, I'm only exploiting you for your voice on my podcast.
And I go, okay.
Okay. This is the only human interaction I get. So, okay, I'll take it. Yes, yes.
Yep. Yep, I moved from the big city to a basement, and now I just live in solitary confinement, and nobody talks to me or hangs out with me.
Right, because, you know, when you go outside, you run into the people that live here. So you don't go outside.
That's true. It's definitely not Atlanta. It's definitely not Atlanta.
I mean, I know some decent people that live here, but it's, you have to go past
gotta
other
find
people to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're not the first people you see.
Yeah, I did. I definitely moved to the side of town where a lot of those people live.
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah. I'm not sure I could have done that particular suburb.
You know, we're almost completely out of the county. Like, we're almost in Spartanburg. Which is, I said I would never move back to Spartanburg, so we moved, like, we're toeing the line.
So you stayed 100 feet out. Good job.
I'm probably, as the crow flies, I'm within a mile of the Spartanburg County line.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if I walk to the end of my street, like, the Ennery River is right there, and I could just cross it into Spartanburg.
Whereas I got the hell out of Pickens County, and we're all the way on the other fucking side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We ain't going to accidentally stumble over that line.
Well, I have to go over there to see my mom. Although I've always told myself that, like, if anything happens to my mom, I will never go back to Spartanburg. So
your friends have to come visit you in your basement.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Come to my basement.
Come to my basement. Toys. It's completely safe. Ignore the fake skeletons in the corner. They are definitely fake.
Ignore the real skeletons in the corner. They're definitely not fake.
So we got all our rambling in there in the last 5 minutes of the episode.
We did.
Yeah.
This was a good movie. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. But yeah, it's hard to know what to expound on it because it's one of those that speaks for itself. And unless you watch it, we're not going to be able to capture the essence. You're talking about it.
It's one of those things where, like, if you're in the mood for a Bruce Willis movie and you want to do something that's, like, out of the, like, standard of, like, Bruce Willis mm-hmm. flicks, like, this is a great one to land on.
Yeah. If you liked Gross Point Blank, you right. may like the whole nine yards.
And you don't want to watch Die Hard again,
Yeah, I mean, but that's a completely different feel. That's the thing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But I mean, if you want like a stupid, like Bruce Willis movie and you don't want to watch like Hudson Hawk or,
you don't want to go back and try to figure out where Moonlighting is streaming.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know where Moonlighting is streaming. Because I was too young to watch that one. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's if you're going to go. Like, if you say, like, hey, man, let's watch a Bruce Willis movie.
Okay.
All right, are we watching Pulp? Yeah, you want to watch Pulp Fiction? Do you want to watch, you know,
no.
Die Hard? 12 Monkeys is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have never thought, like, oh, yeah, let's watch the whole nine yards. And so, yeah, this isn't a bad one to land on.
Now you're like, huh, maybe I should have thought that.
Maybe I should have.
Huh. What do you know? John brought something good to my life.
He did. Well done, John.
Yay.
So what else are you bringing into my life?
We have not actually talked about this particular franchise. And it plays
franchise,
off of other franchises. Let's go with the original movie. Not TV show, but the original movie for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay, like the Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go.
No, that's the second
Ninja
one.
That's the second one. You're right.
That's
you're right,
the second
right.
one. The first one was actually the grittier of the two.
That's true.
And way grittier than the third one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But we can discuss all that next time. So we'll go Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and all kinds of... There are all kinds of tangents to go on from that one. I know that as a fact just off the top of my head. So we won't, we won't be trying to figure out what to talk about for half an hour like we kind of did this time.
No, I can...
I think we had a good conversation, but we were very much both going, what do we say next here?
Yeah, so it was kind of a cluster, but that's fine.
But that's okay, because Firefly fans love us. And they always will.
Big fans.
Especially after this episode. So, I am at Woodle _ on Instagram. You are?
My Instagram is, I'm That Joe You Know.
And we will talk at y'all next time.